Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. This is the reading of God's Word. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old has risen again. Herod said, I myself had John beheaded. But who is this man among whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Let your Spirit work in us so that we may not only understand, but believe and obey your word. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Let us see our heavenly realities that we may live accordingly. And Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and that Jesus Christ will be proclaimed. Receive all the glory, God. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How I begin my sermons every Lord's Day, I remind you that through the book of Luke, we're looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing his kingdom. He witnesses the kingdom of God as he heals the sick and casting out the demons. He is furthering the kingdom of God. The citizens, the number of citizens are increasing, all according to our God's plan. But here in our passage, we see him calling his 12 disciples. But this story brings so much joy to us because he's calling these disciples to participate in his holy work of furthering the kingdom. In the language of the Old Testament, they are called to build the eternal temple of God. But if we read the book of Acts later, not only these 12 disciples are called to do this holy work, but the whole church is called to build the eternal temple of God. And that reality is witnessed in our passage for today. So it is also your story, because you are also called to participate in this holy work. Verse 1 and 2, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. Jesus Christ sends his 12 disciples. But to do what? Well, verse 2 tells us very clearly. to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. They are to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God and to witness the reality of that kingdom by healing the sick and casting out the demons. Why? Because heaven is a place where there is no sick people or demons. So by performing these miracles, they're witnessing the reality of that kingdom, which Christ is accomplishing. If you pay attention to what we've been listening so far, the purpose why God is calling His disciples to go out, if you notice already, it is the same work that Jesus had been doing from the very beginning in His public ministry, which you could summarize as a furthering the kingdom of God. Jesus calls His disciples to participate in His work. And like we said before, when we read the book of Acts, now the whole church participate in His work. In reality, it is Jesus Christ who does the whole work. Thus, the title of the book, the Acts, if you read the entire title, it is named The Acts of the Apostles. That title of the book is not proper. And it's okay, the title is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Title is given by man. It's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not part of God's Word. It should have been titled The Acts of the Holy Spirit rather than The Acts of the Apostles. It is all about the works of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, or better, through the church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Now, if you look at those two verses very, very carefully, Jesus tells the church to go to the ends of the earth to be His witnesses. But Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Which means wherever they go, Jesus is there. So you could even say that it is Jesus who goes to the ends of the world. But it is Jesus who accomplishes all things, but He calls His people, the church, to participate in His work. So when we do these works, you should not think that you are accomplishing anything. But you are so happy that God is calling you to participate in His work. That's why we're so happy to do it. But we are never arrogant, thinking that we are accomplishing things. And I hope we will not find that kind of people in this church, thinking that there's somebody doing some work and accomplishing this and that. No. It is only Jesus Christ. But He uses us in His work. And it is our honor to be used by Him. So He invites the church to participate in His work, and that reality is witnessed in our passage. So when you read our passage, when you read the Bible, you will realize what God's will is for us. Even though it's not direct command to us, but by seeing what the church or His disciples are doing, it becomes a command to us. And you need to realize that. If we see church in the Bible, if church is observing Lord's Day, gathering together on the Lord's Day, even though that's not direct command, but because God reveals that, it becomes command for us to gather on the Lord's Day. God's Word is His revelation. Now, the end of the verse 1 says that God gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. You see, God gives them power and authority. Jesus gives them His power and His authority. This is very, very important. Unless God gives us authority, then we simply don't have authority to do anything. God says, Jesus Himself says, I will build my own church. And God gave the authority to His church. That's why with that authority that He gives us, the church, we do these things. If God did not give me authority to preach to you as a pastor, then who am I to come here and preach to you? What, just because I want to? Or just because you want me to? No, unless God gives authority, we have no authority whatsoever. That's why I ask people out there, like, you know, there's nothing else that Jesus said that He will build. He said, I will build my church. He did not say, I will build my parachurch or mission center. He never said that in the Bible. So I asked them, where did you get the authority to do what you do? Who gave you authority to do what you do? I find in the Bible that it is God's will that church elects pastor. And that pastor is to preach the word. I get my authority from the Bible. So I do what I do. Who gave them authority to do what they're doing? Well, it's not in the Bible, so who did give them authority? You need to really understand this. Do not just go to anybody, any organization, any group, especially you college people. So many para church, so many Christian clubs. Who gave them authority to teach you the Bible? It's not God, because I don't see it in the Bible. That's why I say to all of them, let my people alone. When it comes to learning the Bible, we will take care of you. This church will. And if you need to learn, you want to learn, come, ask us to have Bible study. will teach because God gave us authority to do that. I mean, I could talk about this so long, but I'll move on. But this is so important, man. Everybody just doing whatever they want. They don't care what the Bible says. It's okay, I want to be this, I want to do that, and they think that they could do it. No. Unless God give you authority, you cannot do whatever you want. That is why only men are pastors in the church. Not because men are better than women. I mean, if I just compare myself to my wife, I know that's not true. So many women are way better than men. But God did not give women the authority to be pastor. That's all. And we have to obey God. And it's not about who's better than, you know, someone else, or who is superior, who is inferior. That's not what we're talking about. What does God want? That's what we're talking about. Ask them, where did you get your authority? And if they cannot show you in the Bible, then you ask them, then why are you doing what you're doing? Who told you to do this? It's certainly not God. I get a little bit upset, right? Yeah, I am. Because it's just chaos. So, God gave them His power and His authority. In other words, because of that, they represent Jesus Christ as they are sent out. Luke chapter 10 verse 16 says, "The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." But if you keep reading the Bible, you will see that Jesus not only gave the authority and power to His disciples, that He gives the power and authority to His church. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And you see in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit actually comes to the church. And Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus tells the church, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." See, God tells the church what He has done. God gave the authority to church. So what church decides, it will be decided in heaven. Of course, you need to do everything according to the Word of God. Otherwise, then whatever you did, it really doesn't matter. You just sinned. But if a church, according to the Word, if it makes a decision, then it is the decision of God. See, this is why, especially today's generation, they hate church. Because they hate authority. That's the sign of today's generation. They hate it. Well, then it's going to be very hard for those people to be Christians. Because Christianity is all about authority. Authority of God. We obey Him. Whether we like it or not. God says it, we do it. So, this work of furthering the kingdom of God, the holy and glorious work of our Lord Jesus Christ, building the eternal temple of God. Now we see in our passage, God's people are invited to participate in this glorious work of the furthering of kingdom of God. Verse 3 and 4, and he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. It says, take nothing for your journey. It is the call to participate in the life of Jesus Christ, who did not even have a place to lay his head. They are called to depend completely on God and God alone. They are to stay at that house until they leave that city. They are told not to bounce from house to house. What is important is not finding many houses that will welcome them. What is important is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. Later in Luke chapter 10, verse 5 through 8, we read, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you. It says the laborer is worthy of his wages. The same principle is now applied to the church. That's why pastors, you will provide my living so that I could just preach and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, you do not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. See, this is why I'm not embarrassed to get money from the church so that I could make a living. God gave me authority to receive it. And God commands church to give it. We got to do everything according to the Bible. If God tells through the Bible, tells me that even though I do ministry, I have to get a job, secular job to make a living, then that's what I got to do. It's all about what God wants. It's all about what God commands. And we follow the Bible. Later in Luke, Jesus reminds his disciples of this event to confirm to them God will always provide what they need. Luke chapter 22, verse 35, and he said to them, when I sent you out without money, belt or bag and sandals, did you not lack anything? They said, no, nothing. But not all will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ with open arms. Luke chapter, verses 5 and 6. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. To reject the disciple is to reject the gospel of heaven that they are proclaiming. To do so is to reject Jesus himself. So when the disciples leave that city, they are to shake the dust off their feet. See, this is why when I teach, when I, you know, meet some non-Christians, they reject the gospel, and I don't take that personally because they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the gospel. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. We should never take this personally. Luke chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, even the dust of your city, which cling to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Acts chapter 18, verse 6, but when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clean, for I am on. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. See, Paul is witnessing to them the judgment that is to come, and he also witnesses that he did his duty and he carried out his responsibility of telling them the gospel of heaven. Shaking the dust of your feet is a testimony against them. We see Paul doing the very thing in Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews incited the devout woman of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. If they reject, what can you do? You move on. But it is your responsibility to share that gospel. But not all people will accept. Actually, probably more people will reject. But don't take it personally. Your duty, your responsibility to share that gospel continues. Whoever you meet, you gotta do it. See, whether you are a citizen of the kingdom of God or not is no longer determined, as in the Old Testament, by whether you are born of the Jew or not. That day is over. But it is determined by whether you accept Jesus Christ or you reject Jesus Christ. And really doesn't matter how sinful you are, or how sinful you were. It's all about whether you accept Jesus Christ or you reject Jesus Christ. It's not about what you did, what you're doing, or what you will do. It's Jesus Christ. And you might hear what I'm saying as, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Actually, that kind of teaching will make me more lazy. Because it's not about what I have to do, it's not about what I did, but it's all about Jesus Christ. And when you feel like that, then I'm very happy. Because that's exactly what I'm saying. It's all Jesus Christ. And once you realize what Jesus has done for you, and once you realize His love for you, you're not going to be lazy at all. Because that love will compel you. It will move you. Well, in Luke chapter 9, which we're looking at, chapter 9, right? In verse 1, Jesus sends out His disciples, and in verse 10, the disciples come back and give an account to Jesus of all that they have done. But in the right in the middle, from verse 7 through 9, all of a sudden we read about the King Herod. Luke, who told us about John the Baptist being in prison in chapter 3, now tells us of his death. And the King Herod asks the same question that we saw a few times already, pointing to Jesus. Who is this man? Chapter 9, verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of the old had risen again. Herod said, I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see Jesus Christ. Now, who Jesus is being witnessed through His words and His works. But you see here, without God's grace, even if one hears Jesus' words, he will not understand. Even if one sees Jesus' work, he will not truly see it. There are so many views on who Jesus is, but you must know Jesus as the true Messiah and the true Son of God. And disciples must understand. We must remember that to participate in His work is also to participate in His sufferings and death. That's why there will be so much rejection as you bring this gospel to the world. And that's exactly what the death of John the Baptist shows. Through the death of John the Baptist, we see the price that the disciples must pay. We are also invited to participate in His life, you and I. It does not mean that we will actually be killed in this world, but we will live a life that is in general a participation in His sufferings and death. John the Baptist is killed. And when we read the end of the book of Luke, Jesus will be killed. And book of Acts, all the disciples of Jesus, they get killed. Minus Judas. He killed himself. So do you get the picture then? John the Baptist killed, Jesus killed, all of his disciples killed. And if you don't get the picture, then I don't know what I can do to make you see it. Jesus, here's everything. He's even the blueprint of our life. What kind of life we must live? Well, He showed you. But Jesus is resurrected from the dead. So John the Baptist and all the Jesus' disciples minus Judas also will be resurrected from the dead with the glorified bodies. Ultimately, all the lives of Christians put together, if you could put all the Christians, even, you know, like from the beginning all the way to end, and everywhere in all countries, you put all those Christians together. And you put their lives together. And what are you going to see? Jesus Christ. His life is our life. And we must realize this. It's really hot. I thought air conditioning was fixed, but yeah, I could see it's like really hot. Just hang in there a little bit more. Almost done. So, Jesus Christ is the center, and He's everything, and we are actually called to live out His life, participate in His life. The apostles, they were the sent ones. They represented Jesus Christ. And you are also called to represent Jesus Christ. We are reminded of what the John the Baptist had said. He said, Jesus must increase and we must decrease. Yes, we must live for His glory, and at the end, all of us will disappear behind Jesus Christ, and only Jesus must remain. Today's event, in which the disciples of Jesus are given the power and the authority and being sent out, this is our story. Of course, you and I are not the apostles, but what we see in our passage, the work that the disciples are doing as they are sent out, is the exact work that His church must do. Verse 2 says, and He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. You and I, we are also sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim the gospel of heaven. And the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel of heaven by the church, saves God's people who were the slaves of Satan. He casts out the demons in them, and now He lives in them forever. Through the Word, He gives the health of heaven. He heals all the spiritual illnesses. This is exactly what our church is doing, and all the events that we see in the book of Luke are our stories. They actually happen to us, spiritually, of course. All the works of Jesus and all the works of the disciples in the book of Luke are the spiritual works of our church. Now, this reality will be seen more clearly if we read the book of Acts. More and more, we must have our eyes focused on the things above so that we will not be choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. We must trust our God and entrust ourselves to Him and participate in the glorious work of our Lord in furthering His kingdom. We must participate with prayers and financial supports, and we must invite people to His church. The keys to the kingdom of God have been given to His churches, and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, is with His church. You and I must live a life that is sent by our Lord Jesus Christ. And He called all of us in the glorious work of furthering His kingdom. Brothers and sisters, please pray. Please pray for your leaders of this church, and please pray for this church. And when you come into that door every Lord's Day, before that, please pray. Please pray for me. And please pray that the Holy Spirit will use the preaching to benefit you. Without that benefit, without that grace, there's no way for us to live that Christian life that He wants us to live. You know, I don't know what it is today, This is the one of the most hardest preaching that I had to do today. I don't know what it is. Every word I have to like force it out of myself. Please, brothers and sisters in Christ, without His word, we're as good as dead. But when you get up on the Lord's day, pray. Be on your knees. Pray for the preaching. Pray for pastor. Pray for this worship. Then you come. Because this furthering of the kingdom of God is our work together. And I'm not saying just because I feel hard to preach today, that means, you're not receiving it well. No, it's just me hard, but I'm just asking you to pray for me so that it will be a joyous occasion. You have to realize how God is blessing us through this worship. But in order for you to be truly blessed, we have to do this together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We pray that You will pour out Your grace upon this church. We know that without Your grace, there's nothing we could do to bring glory and honor to You. Oh Father, we truly want to bring glory to You. That Jesus Christ will be preached and He will be exalted. That He will be proclaimed. That He will be glorified. That He will be rejoiced in our hearts. That all of us will just joyfully hearing Your word, praising Your holy name. Oh Father, bless Christ and Heaven OPC. That by Your grace, the heaven, the reality of heaven will be witnessed in our church. We thank You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.